The reading's John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
So who wasn't recognised? Who can tell me? Who wasn't recognised in that reading? Pardon? Jesus. Jesus, is that right? Right, so John 1, we're continuing John 1. And John has told us some amazing facts about Jesus. He's God. He is eternal. He's always been around. And he is God's life and light to the world. Jesus is truly amazing. And this awesome person, the Word, as he's called in this passage, came into the world that he made. He came into the world that he made. What reception do you think he got? Well, we've already thought about that. Do you think that people would recognize him? Do you think that people would welcome him? Do you think that people would throw a huge party for the one who made the world and who made them because he's so special? Well, if you have a look at the Bibles in front of you, at verses 10 and 11, they give us the answer. He, that's Jesus, was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So there's the great scandal. The great scandal. The great shock as well. That people that God had made didn't recognize him when he showed up on the earth. That's a shock. It's a scandal. They should have recognized him. It's not as if God came in disguise, is it? He didn't come in disguise. Jesus said things that only God can say. Jesus knew things that only God can know. Jesus did things that only God can do. And John has recorded some of these things in his book for us. And as we read on, we see these signs, these things that only God can do. Healing people instantly with a word, sometimes at a great distance away. Feeding a vast multitude with basically nothing. And even raising a dead person back to life. Jesus is God. He showed himself to be God. He didn't come in disguise. And the great scandal and the great tragedy is that the majority of people didn't recognize him. And the great scandal today and the great tragedy today is that most people still don't recognize him. The world was created by him, but most people live as if he's not there. But there's a double scandal and a double tragedy, and it's there in verse 11, that his own did not receive him. So he's got not recognized, and he's not received. And the people that's being talked about there are the Jewish people, his own people. And they understood the claim he made. He claimed to be the Word who was with God in the beginning and the Word who was God. They understood that claim. But they didn't want him to be the Word who was with God. And they didn't want him to be the Word who was God. They didn't want him to be God over them. Their golden moment came. This is the moment that they'd been waiting for. The king that they'd been waiting centuries for arrived. And they rejected him. And one of the most striking examples of that is in John chapter 11. You don't have to turn to it, but you know, Jesus stands at the grave of his friend Lazarus. And Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus says these extraordinary words. He called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." He raised someone from the dead. And do you know what happened next? John tells us in his book, he says that many believed in Jesus. But that very day, the leaders of Israel got together and they decided to kill him. They heard what he'd done. Here's a man who raised someone from the dead. And they say, "We've got to get rid of him. We've got to kill him." His own did not receive him. They rejected him. It is a great scandal. And so, eventually, they handed him over to the Romans to be killed. And he was killed. And that rejection, that non-reception, goes on today. It's been going on since the beginning of the world. It's the way people have treated God from the very beginning. It's the way that people will treat God until the end of this world as well. Refusing to recognize him. Refusing to receive him. And it's something that we've all done. I've done it. You've done it. And because of that, we've lost the most wonderful thing in the whole wide world. Do you know what that is? Do you know what the most wonderful thing in the whole wide world is? The most wonderful thing in the whole wide world is the right to be a child of God. That's what it is. And because we've refused God and we've refused to receive him, we've forfeited that right. We can't have that right to be his children. We've lost the right to be his children. And that's a terrible thing to lose. Because it's God's children who are going to live with him in the perfect new creation. Children have access to parents. Instant access, intimate access to their parents. Children of God have access to God. Children are heirs of their parents. Children of God are heirs of God. They are to be inheritors of the new creation, the perfect world that's coming. But because we've said no to God, we don't have that right. God made us to be his children. But we bailed out of that relationship. We didn't want him to be our God. And that's the bad news. That's the big problem. We haven't lived as God's children. That's the great scandal. That's the great tragedy in the world. And that's the bad news and the sad news for us this morning. But there's some good news. There's some absolutely brilliant news. And it's there in verses 12 to 13. Here we read of a glorious gift. Verse 12, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." These verses tell us that in Christ, in Jesus, God has come to our rescue. He's come to rescue us from the consequences of refusing to recognize him and refusing to receive him. He's come to restore us to the relationship with him that we were created for. He's come to give us the right to be God's children again, and to save us from being cut off from God and separated from him forever. Jesus came to restore us to God as his children, and restoring us to God took Jesus to the cross. And we're going to spend a bit of time in our time together thinking about that as we share bread and wine later on. Restoring us to God took Jesus to the cross. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he suffered as an enemy of God so that you and I might become children of God. The one perfect Son of God suffered as a rebel, as an enemy in our place, so that we could become children of God. Something else for us to notice, and this is really important. Notice verse 13, that becoming a child of God is not something that happens naturally to us. It's not by genetic inheritance. It's not by us working for it that we become children of God. It's not by our parents deciding for us. It's all down to God. You become a child when God brings you to life, born of God. I don't become a child of God simply by being born into this world. I don't become a child of God simply by being good. I don't become a child of God by being baptized. I don't become a child of God by being in church. The right to be one of God's children is a gift that needs to be received, verse 12, and it is a work that only God can do, verse 13. Now, I know some of you watched Paddington yesterday, but who's seen Finding Nemo? Who's seen that film? Yeah, quite a few. When I say Finding Nemo, who knows what I'm on about? Yeah, a few people. Lots of you, some ignorant people here on Finding Nemo, but we're going to put that right because we're going to watch a clip now from Finding Nemo. And the story of Finding Nemo is the story of a clownfish called Marlin who is looking for his lost son, who is called Nemo. And on the way, he gets a companion named Dory. And as they travel looking for Nemo, they meet a shark who's called Bruce. And Bruce takes them to a sunken submarine where there are a couple of other sharks. And at that point, we're thinking, he's brought them here to eat them. But we're surprised. Okay, so we're going to watch the clip. It goes straight in there. So watch and listen. It's got something to teach us.
Let's get this over with.
Right then. The meeting has officially come to order. Let us all say the pledge. I am a nice shark, not a mindless eating machine. If I am to change this image, I must first change myself. Fish are friends, not food. Today's meeting is step 5. Bring a fish friend.
A little chum for chum, eh?
I'll start the testimonies. Hello. My name is Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
It has been 3 weeks since my last fish. On my honour, or may I be chopped up and made into soup.
You're an inspiration to all of us.
Amen.
Up here.
Hi, I'm Dory.
Hello, Dory.
And, I don't think I've ever eaten a fish.
Hey, that's incredible.
Good on you, mate.
I'm glad I got that off my chest.
All right, anyone else? Hello, how about you, mate? What's your problem?
Me? I don't have a problem.
Oh, okay.
Denial.
No, Dory.
Hey, that's mine. Get
Dory!
Give me! Ow!
Are you okay?
Ow.
I'm so sorry.
You really clocked me there. Anyone bleeding?
Oh.
Ow.
Dory, are you okay?
Oh. That's good.
Intervention!
Just a boy!
I'm having fish tonight!
Remember the steps, man!
Just one bite!
He really doesn't mean it, you know. He never even knew his father!
Don't fall off the wagon!
No, Bruce, focus! Sorry about Bruce, mate. He's really a nice guy.
Ooh, I wonder what happens. Well, you'll be pleased to know they escape, and Bruce doesn't get them. I'm sure you know that if you've seen it. The reason why we show that is Bruce's nature has not changed. So in spite of his Fisherholics program, in spite of the steps that he's taken, in spite of his desire to make fish his friends and not food, he can't change his nature. That's the problem. He's a shark. He can't not make himself a shark, unshark himself. And that's the same with us. We can't change our nature. By nature, we're not children of God. By nature, we're enemies of God. And if we're going to be friends of God, if we're going to be children of God, if we are to live with him now and live with him forever in the new creation, then we need a change of nature. And we can't change our nature. Only God can do that. And the wonderful news is that that's what he wants to do and promises to do in Jesus. And we need to ask him to do it. We can't do it. We need to ask him to change us, from being a self-centered person living for ourselves into a God-centered person living for Jesus. We need to ask him to give us a new heart, a new nature, no longer against him, but for him. And if we don't have that change, without that change, we can't know God as our Father. Without that change, we can't be in his family. Without that change, we can't be with him in the new creation. That is a change, the Bible says, we all need. And it's a change that we can all have. It's one that God offers to us all. And we get it by receiving Jesus and by believing in his name. That's what verse 12 tells us. To receive Jesus and believe in his name. Have you received Jesus and believed in his name? For us to receive Jesus means that we've got to stop pretending that we're in charge and to recognize that he's in charge. We've got to recognize that he is God. And to believe on his name is to see him as the Word who was with God in the beginning, the Word who was God, the God who made everything, the God who can do everything, the one who died and rose again so that we can be forgiven and welcomed into God's family. We've got to see that and we've got to recognize that. We've got to ask him to change us. And that involves saying sorry and thank you and please. Sorry. Lord God, I'm sorry that I've rejected you and I've refused to recognize you and your son Jesus. I've tried to run my life without you. I'm sorry for that. Thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to rescue me, to die in my place and to restore me to the right of being one of your children. Please forgive me. Please change me. And please take control of my life. That's the way you receive him. That's the way you believe on his name. That's how you become a child of God. Are you a child of God? It's the most important question we can ask ourselves. Are you a child of God? Am I a child of God? We're all children who've been born into a family. We've all got that in common. But are we children who've been born into God's family? Because that's the family that counts. That's the forever family. It's the only family that lasts forever. The family of God. If you haven't received Jesus as Lord and Savior, then the Bible says that you're not one of his children. But you can be. And God wants you to be. And he sent Jesus so that you can be. And you need, if you're to become his child, you need to ask him to change you and to make you his child. If you're here and you have received Jesus as Lord and God and you've believed in his name and you've put your trust in him as your savior from sin, then here's the astounding truth this morning, it's true for you, is that God has made you his child. He's made you his child, and you're his child forever. And that will not change. God is your father. What an honor. What an honor. What a glorious gift to be in the family of God, to be a child of Almighty God. It is a breathtaking privilege, isn't it? To be a child of the author of life. To be a child of the creator of everything. What a life-enhancing thing to be a child of the one who made all things. What more could you ask for? What more could you ask for? To be a child of the living God. Well, if that's you this morning, then let's be reminded we didn't earn it. It's a gift, and therefore we need to thank him for it. And we need to thank him for it today, And we need to thank him for it every day. And we will be thanking him for it for all eternity. First John 3, verse 1 says, "This, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Let's pray. Father, we praise you for this great love that has made us your children. We thank you that that is now what we are by your grace through the Lord Jesus. We thank you that one day we're going to be like him perfectly. Until that day, until our hope is fulfilled, we pray that you would help us to purify ourselves just as he is pure. Please help us to keep in mind the great love for Jesus demonstrated on the cross this week. And we pray that we would respond to your grace and mercy with lives that are laid down as a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Help us to live for you in response to your grace to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.